Well, the Dáil returns for business tomorrow afternoon. Junior Minister Damien English's shock resignation and Minister Pascal Donoghue's undeclared election expenses controversy means a fairly rocky start for Fine Gael. But looking further ahead, will Micheál Martin lead Fianna Fáil into the next election? Could they form a coalition government with Sinn Féin? Can the Green Party get rural Ireland on side as they continue to grapple with emissions targets? And to discuss all of this, I'm joined in the studio by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, and also Alison O'Connor, Irish Examiner columnist. You're both welcome. Thank you for being here. We'll start with the current events. Fianna Fáil saying that they're going to back Pascal Donoghue over his failure to declare those election donations as long as there are no further revelations. Alison, we know the Taoiseach is supporting him as well. Do you think that this is the end of this?
I'm sure Pascal Donoghue will very much hope, and his party colleagues. In fact, I'd say the entire government will hope that it is the end of it, because I suppose the most important first principle in this, if you like, is Pascal Donoghue is very well liked, universally almost. And that includes journalists, actually, with whom many of whom he has a very good relationship with. And I suppose people also recognise that, by and large, he was a very good finance minister all during COVID and has a very good relationship with Michael McGrath, his opposite number in Fianna Fáil, who is now Minister for Finance. And that he does a very good job of representing the country. So I'm saying all of this because I suppose people are well disposed towards him. It's not as if Pascal is somebody who has a lot of enemies and they want to move against him at the first sign of trouble. Having said all of that, I would say that he is worried. It's still the story led two broadsheets today, the Irish Times and the Independent. There's still a lot of talk about it. And we still do have questions. You still don't know why he didn't address this previously, whatever about not doing it in 2017, but that why not in November? Now, I know he was very busy, the Eurogroup, the election, or there wasn't an election in the end, and he was reappointed. But why wait for something that is potentially that difficult and that difficult and high stakes for him personally? Mm-hmm. That's the bit that remains unaddressed.
Yeah.
And I think, again, coming on Damien English's resignation last week, in terms, it's not good for the government generally, and particularly in this instance, okay, not good for Fine Gael.
Pascal's kind of he's one step away from saying he won the money on the horses, really. He's kind of getting out the Bertie Ahern playbook now at this stage. The excuses. So he's on version 4 of what happened here now. He didn't declare it. He then didn't act on it. He then denied it. And now he's made an amended statement. He's also, his explanation now is getting into the nuances of money figures that are just under limits where you would have to declare them or where you would be over limits. If he gets through the next 48 hours, he's grand, because the Standards of Public Office Commission is not so much the watchdog that doesn't bite. It's the watchdog that's largely speaking asleep most of the time. It will take an inordinate length of time to get anywhere near this. It'll drag on for quite some time.
There'll be correspondence. It has such limited powers.
They were remarkably rapid in their dealings with then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who was due to become Taoiseach Leo Varadkar a few weeks later, compared to a raft of complaints that they have had over the years, and they've been very slow. They lack any transparency in terms of communicating with the public, and also they're still
staffed
working
by
off
people, though, who all have other full-time jobs to do.
That's fine. They also have an administrative staff. They're still working off a previous Millennium model of a paper-based system, so Pascal will have plenty of time to put together his version of events for them. That will be trawled through, and we may not hear sight nor sound of this again for about 2-3 years, by which time he'll be out of office as Minister for Public Expenditure and probably his term in Eurogroup will be finished. As long as there's not another version of events in the next 48 hours, that's where this will go.
So Fianna Fáil backing him. Just on Alison's point that people like Pascal Donoghue, when he was Director of Elections the last time, there were quite a few grumblings from within Fine Gael about Pascal Donoghue's performance then. Is he as well liked within his own party as he is by others, as Alison says, outside of it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's still a lot of bitterness about that election on a couple of fronts. Obviously, if you're Director of Elections, you have to make decisions around candidates. Division of expenses, by the way, as well, in terms of where you put resources. And also a sense within the party that he didn't open up the purse strings, that the economy was in a far healthier position than he was making out at that time, and that there was... There were TDs who lost their seats who believed that had Pascal Donoghue merely thrown a few more hundred millions at various projects around the country, that they could have clung on. So there was a view after that election, and particularly when the Leo Varadkar issue came to the fore in terms of his own ethics investigations, that if there was to be a change of leadership, it wouldn't be Pascal Donoghue getting the job, because people were saying he simply won't have the support in the parliamentary party.
All right, Sinn Féin has an issue today with this payment to a British firm related to the, was it the 2016 election as well? You're writing about that today.
2020, so they commissioned a British firm to do a poll for them. They publicised it at the time. They then failed to declare it. It was then brought to their attention somehow 2 years later, and they then did declare it. It's not by any means on the scale of magnitude of what Pascal Donoghue is dealing with here, but I suppose it'll be thrown at them and say, well, can't it happen to the best of us?
Yeah, they say that they were well within their spending limits laid down for the 2020 general election.
I found it interesting yesterday. I was, now obviously it was a momentary lapse on my part that I was listening to News Talk. It happens rarely. but listening to News Talk Breakfast, and Ciara Kelly was interviewing Louise O'Reilly, who was also on this station earlier in the morning, about the situation with Pascal Donoghue. And it's very interesting in terms of the line of questioning went around. It ultimately was a question where Louise O'Reilly was asked, what do you think the public would think was worse? A couple of workers putting up some posters and the use of a van, or receiving a donation from a convicted criminal? Obviously veering into the Dowdall case. And it was fairly, Louise O'Reilly held up her end, but it was a fairly bruising interview. And I mean, Sinn Féin are also vulnerable on other issues about fundraising in places like the States, in going to Australia, where they say the money stays, or getting money in wills. So, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be all one-way traffic on this particular thing. But I think it more than highlights, and you touched on this with Fionnán, the need for something to be done about SIPO. SIPO have said how many times that they need better, more extended powers, and it generally adds to this sense of people thinking they're useless, politicians can do what you want, it all if you're in the inner circle, well then. And that doesn't do the trade of politics any good.
Yeah, but it has suited the political... Yeah. Main political parties to leave it like that for a quarter of a century, and it has been quite obvious the system was put in place in the late 90s as a result of tribunals and so on. You needed a system put in place at that point. The world has moved on, and the political system has just decided, well, no, we're just going to leave it as it is.
Well, let's move on ourselves now and talk about the term ahead. So Leo Varadkar has taken, it would seem, a particular interest now, Fionnán, in housing and in health. So what's going on there, and how does that impact those two ministers who are Fianna Fáil ministers?
Well, it means that they have him looking over their shoulder and breathing down their necks. What we've seen thus far is a quite interventionist approach by Leo Varadkar in terms of holding meetings with stakeholders in the area, one of which Dara O'Brien, the housing minister, was not invited to, and Leo Varadkar took it upon himself to do so for whatever means. That's very strange. And then a second one where Dara O'Brien was invited to. Dara O'Brien has been talking since the start of the year about how difficult it will be to hit the existing targets this year, where Leo Varadkar has been saying we need to increase those targets and go above them more rapidly. And then how you come to a point where they think that there needs to be some policy change, be it additional investment or on the taxation side, to reach those targets. That seems to be coming to a head as well. On the health side, we've seen Leo Varadkar again get more involved. There was a meeting last week with TDs from the Midwest that Leo Varadkar personally attended. Now, it was online, fine, but he personally attended it, that Stephen Donnelly attended as well, and shared, and the Taoiseach showed a lot of knowledge of the situation there and seemed to be promising some action. Now, that's in stark contrast to 6 months ago, where Stephen Donnelly organised a similar meeting, only invited TDs from the government parties, didn't attend it himself, and just threw some HSE officials to the wolves, really, on that occasion. So there was a more professional approach on this time. Yep. I don't see it as a bad thing to have the office of the Taoiseach saying these are very important issues to us, and any assistance that you needed will be provided. It sends a message out to the entire system, because you're not just looking at those individual departments here. There are knock-on effects across a range of departments and agencies that need to all be putting in the one direction. And if you have the Taoiseach there potentially being willing to come on board and say, well, why is your agency not helping out here? Well, then that's not a bad thing. Enda Kenny did to great effect with Richard Bruton's action plan for jobs, yep, to the point where he didn't need to intervene, because Richard Bruton basically had him in the background if people weren't delivering.
And ultimately, if you're a minister in those departments, who takes the win? I mean, you could argue that that minister is going to take that win, you know, if there is progress in those two areas.
Well, we know who's taking the loss. If there isn't progress in those two areas, both those parties are going to get the
win. Take the hit. Now, Fianna Fáil, Alison, Micheál Martin, is he the best person to lead that party into the next election?
Yeah, I am. I would just like to add to the end of what Fiona was saying there, is that you can't argue with any of that. Leo is now the leader, and you can say it's good that he brings new and fresh impetus. But the problem is that it's a coalition government, and that when Micheál Martin was Taoiseach, he very much took a role of, you know, keeping everyone in the tent, trying to, even when there was trouble or when Leo Varadkar was going off and doing his own thing and that there was difficulties, Micheál did his best to, ensure that things went along smoothly.
Like a chairperson,
often to the annoyance of his own party members. So here you have now Leo in classic elbows out form, right? And already annoying Fianna Fáil on this issue. You know, and I'm not disagreeing with what Fiona is saying about bringing this new impetus, but definitely has annoyed Fianna Fáil, right? Particularly on the housing thing. And, you know, you could see, you know, equally you can see the Greens getting annoyed. You look at Patrick O'Donovan on earlier with you and Hazel Shue, Patrick doing his "don't hit me now with the baby Jesus in my arms in the crib" shtick, the culture wars. That's a very minor sort of example of it. But those two parties are still in government. What does that mean for the government cohesion? I think it's going to make, for people like me and Fiona, it's going to make things far more interesting. But does it mean that the government is going to last? I think there's going to be far more sticky wickets. Now, you asked me about Micheál Martin.
Yeah.
It's that classic conundrum whereby you look, Fianna Fáil are still languishing at the polls. The Sunday Independent poll last week, I think there were 16%. And yet you have Micheál is still way up there in terms of his personal popularity. Does that twain ever meet? I don't see Micheál leading the party into the next election. He is now, I think, as of this month, gone into his 13th year as party leader. And I don't see the current kind of level. There's been a level of quietness for a while. I think that's going to change. And the fact that he is Minister for Foreign Affairs and doing all those things we spoke about and doing far more travelling, you are going to see change there. It's time for change.
Who's going to break ranks and take him on?
Oh, sure, look, I mean, there's so many discontents on those, discontents on those benches. You know, take your pick. You might have somebody like John McGuinness, who's not going to go for the leadership, but who's going to start stirring things up. Barry Cowan is always waiting there in the wings. You know, with Willie O'Dea giving out last week about, what was it, junior ministers, wasn't it? And people, the regions being ignored. So, honestly, you could... You could be here a while deciding where it's going to come from. I don't think it's not a question of when, it is a question of where.
Okay, but the on the malcontent side, we've had a whole year now of a lack of COVID restrictions, effectively, where people can go back to public meetings and events and so on and so forth. I haven't seen anybody that you would call amongst the malcontents putting in the hard yards of travelling the country, meeting people, what was traditionally called the chicken supper circuit, is now, you know, the public meeting
When Jack Chambers was Minister for Sport, and he literally has hit, I'd say, every dog and pony club all over the Tiddlywinks club, but
he's not the malcontents.
I agree with you.
And neither of you have mentioned...
He has a senior ministerial experience.
You haven't mentioned Jim O'Callaghan.
Well, Jim is...
Why would you mention him?
Yeah, it's one of life's...
What's the mission?
Wasn't he
top of the list there for a while? Where is he gone?
Speeches to the Oxford Union, I'm sure, go down very well in Oxbridge.
Are you saying not in contention now?
I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know whether you would rule him out, but you would certainly have to question. And there's a mystery as to how he is. I mean, I suppose it's a very fine line, isn't it, between continuing to be shown to express an interest and being seen to be a malcontent. But rather than trying to straddle that line, he just seems to have kind of taken himself out of the picture. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly no sense of momentum behind him.
There's two parts to that job as well. Obviously, there is the parliamentary, the power, the government side. There's also the organisational side. And he's shown no appetite whatsoever to engage with the party organisation. He had a rather calamitous by-election in his own backyard in the by-election there 18 months ago, which didn't exactly send out a good signal about his own organisational and administrative skills. So, you know, maybe there was a time 2 years ago when people were looking at that, not now. You're still looking at Dara O'Brien and Michael McGrath as the leadership contenders by sheer dint of the fact they have got ministerial experience. But the two of them are pretty busy.
It has been interesting, very briefly, that Michael McGrath did their two Cork-based podcasts before Christmas. The two Narries and a second one, the name of which escapes me, very much going into his own background, what motivates him politically, the question of whether he'd go for, you know,
and those
were in December. It was just interesting.
Right. I don't think it's the people in Cork he needs to convince, though. I mean,
I guess it's maybe a soft start, you know, but it definitely looks like a start.
A word about Sinn Féin and what you do when you're in their position, you know, great standing in the polls, waiting it out now. Do you think they're starting to pull their punches, pick their fights a little?
There was one thing before we get into that I did want to very briefly mention. We're talking about the new political term. Jennifer Bray was on with Ryan earlier after this piece that she wrote on Saturday in the Irish Times about female politicians and the threats. I mean, that piece has stayed in my mind ever since. And it is just, I mean, so frightening and some of it disgusting what female politicians are going through and the threats that they're under and that they're getting ridiculous advice along the lines of don't wear high heels in case you need to run for it, or that a TD is told don't hold a constituency clinic on your own. I would really think that this is something that very strongly needs to be looked at, and that male colleagues could really offer solidarity to their female TDs on this. On the Sinn Féin thing, I think, yes, there is an element of hold steady. You can already see more and more as time goes on, if you have opposition spokespeople on, that they're being asked, well, and what would you do while you're, you know, while in government? So it is a case of trying not to mess it up, really. But there's so much. There's so much time potentially between now and the next general election. It is impossible to say, and that is the hardest task that there is, to try and ensure that nothing. But I guess you have to say that, looking at the health crisis last week, looking at the housing crisis, we talked about all the impetus that the new Taoiseach is putting into all of this. It's a really uphill battle to climb for them to try and get, for the government parties to try and get momentum there. So yes, from the Sinn Féin point of view, it is steady as she goes. Right.
But you also have...
Really briefly, Fiona.
Yeah, Simon Harris saying the government is offering stability. Record homelessness, record numbers of trolleys. If you're the leaders of the opposition, you can really say, really, are you really trying to claim that that's stability? What exactly is your definition of chaos?
That was an interview he did at the weekend. Fiona Sheehan and Alison O'Connor, thank you both. We could continue. Maybe we'll bring you back again midway through the term. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.